Good morning. I just hate to break it up when people are visiting and smiling and shaking hands. I'm going to preach on the realities of hell. I know that's a heck of a topic before lunch, but that's where I felt like we needed to go. This sermon's going to be in two parts. When I was studying this, I realized there was no way I could do this in 30 or 40 minutes and do it any justice. And if I preach 2 hours, you guys would probably stone me to death. So we're not going to do a two-hour message. But I want to talk the next two Sundays about the realities of hell. There's no word on the wall today. The text is up there, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. I would like to encourage everyone that has one to start bringing your Bibles to church, because sometimes it won't be on the wall, and then you can read along in your Bible, and unless you just don't want to, and that's fine. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. First, I want to begin by asking what happens to us when we die. This is a question that people have pondered and debated for as long as humans have been on the earth. Is there an afterlife, or are death and the grave the ultimate end? The Hebrew scriptures refer to a place called Sheol. It is defined as the world of the dead, as if a subterranean retreat, including its accessories and inmates. It is also translated in the English Bible as grave, hell, and pit. It is mentioned 66 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. There are different things revealed about Sheol in the scriptures. When the Hebrew scriptures were translated into the Greek language, the word Sheol was transliterated into the Greek word Hades, which by definition is the unseen place or state of departed souls, also translated grave and hell. In the New Testament, hell is referred to 22 times. Jesus personally used two different words. One was Hades, for the realm of the dead. The other was Gehenna, which was translated the hell of fire. And we're not going into that today. We don't have time. Now to our text. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime, you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they come also into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Father, we thank you for your word. We believe that it is truth. And we ask this morning that you would take this to our hearts, settle our minds, Father. Help us to understand the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ is laying out for us here. Be with those, Father, who couldn't be here. I ask your blessing upon them. I ask your blessing upon all those who are here today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that I will decrease, that you might increase, and that you will present the word as it is in truth, that you will open our eyes and our ears and open our hearts to receive this. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Anyone who reads this account should consider the source. If we believe that the Bible, what the Bible says of Jesus, that he is God who came in the flesh, as Greg mentioned at the table, he is the creator of all things. In him all things hold together. And in the Gospel of John, he said, "And the Word, God, became a man and walked among us." So if we believe that account, we need to consider the one giving this account is the creator of all things, including the realm of the dead. So he's an authority. As I said, through the centuries, many men and women have speculated, they've argued, they've debated, they've just purely made things up about the afterlife. But Jesus created this place. So he knows what he's talking about. And since he never lies, he cannot lie, you can guarantee that this is the truth. Now you can reject it if you choose. A lot of people still do. When I was studying this, it's not funny, but I thought that Bible scholars was going to agree with Jesus. And I found some scholars that said, well, there's actually two theories, and we believe this is parabolic. Trying to sound educated like they do. When I was in Bible college, one of my professors said, well, this is a parable. I said, no, it's not. He had a master's. I had a high school GED. And I could tell by the way he looked at me, he's like, what? I said, this is not parabolic. This is factual. A parable that Jesus told was a story to illustrate a point. And some of the scholars say, well, this was a parable. Jesus was just trying to illustrate a point. The fire isn't literal. The torment is probably not literal. If there's any torment, it's the guilt and remorse of past sins, and it's tormenting these people. And my theological rebuttal to that is, okay, that's how I feel. And that's what I said to the professor. I don't care how many degrees you carry, how many letters you got after your name. The Word of God says what it means, and it means what it says. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. The other theory, and this is the one that I hold to, which, by the way, I don't believe is a theory, it's a fact, is historical. Jesus is giving an historical, factual account. And that professor said, "How do you know?" I said, "He used proper names." In a parable, we've read the Bible, the Lord would say, a certain man or a certain woman. In here, he doesn't do that. Jesus said, two men in this account. Two men. The first man, he calls him a rich man. He doesn't name him. It may have been to spare his family. It might have been some of his family was in the crowd, and Jesus said, well, I really don't want to call his name. You know, there's a lot of speculation why he didn't call the guy's name. I don't care. He just said there was a rich man who wore the finest clothes. Purple was very expensive. If you wore purple clothing, you were rich. And he ate the finest food. The second man who he names was Lazarus. He was a poor man who was evidently very ill because Jesus said he was covered in sores. And he had to be laid at the gate of the rich man. So somebody or bodies carried him to this man's gate outside of the house and laid him at the gate. And it seems that all he asked for was the scraps that were left after the rich man had finished eating his meal. Jesus said that the dogs, which were considered unclean animals by the Jews, that the dogs came and licked his sores. Point one for me in this account, those dogs had more mercy on Lazarus than the rich man. If you haven't guessed it, I'll jump ahead. We're talking about mercy today. Now, eventually, Jesus said both of these men died. Lazarus would have been buried. That's just what you did. Probably in a pauper's grave with little or no ceremony. Maybe the people that carried him to the gate, maybe some of his few close friends may have attended the funeral, but it wasn't, probably was not a big funeral. It wasn't a big ceremony. The rich man died and was buried, I imagine, with great pomp. He had the best casket. He had the best preacher money could buy. You know, he was decked out. All of his rich friends were there. And I can almost imagine they stood and talked about what a good man he was in this life. A lot of ceremony. So both men died, and their bodies were placed in the grave. But the story doesn't end there. You remember, there are people to this day who say the grave is it. When you die and you're put into the ground, that's it. There's nothing else. Jesus said the poor man, the spirit of the poor man, was carried by angels to Abraham's side. This place is in Hades, the realm of the dead. But the Jews believe that Hades was divided into separate realms. Abraham's side signified that they went and fellowship with Father Abraham. They went and sat with Father Abraham, and that was called paradise. You remember when Jesus forgave the thief on the cross, and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't saying heaven. Now, I'm not saying the thief didn't go to heaven. Don't get upset with me. Jesus didn't say, you're going to be with me in heaven today. Jesus wasn't going to heaven. He was going to Hades, the realm of the dead. But the Jews believed that it was divided into two parts. There was the part where the wicked went, and there was the part where the righteous went. And it was called paradise. It means a garden, a beautiful place. So the angels carried Lazarus to paradise, Hades. I want you to keep that in mind. There Lazarus found comfort, peace, and rest. The rich man was buried, and he found himself in the section of Hades which is reserved for the wicked. And he was tormented. Reminds me of a passage in Isaiah. God said, there is no rest for the wicked. Not in this life, nor in the life to come. I added that emphasis. God said, there is no rest for the wicked. And this man had died, and I'm sure a lot of his friends said, well, he's out of it now. He's entered into that quiet rest, that peaceful sleep. No. He entered into Hades, the realm of the dead, the world of the spirit, whatever you want to call it. But he was in torment. Now, there were among the Jews religious leaders who did not believe in the afterlife. They were called Sadducees. And I've been told that's why they were sad, you see. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. They believed that death was final. There was no judgment. A lot of people believe that today. I've heard that come out of people's mouths. Hey, you live till you die, and that's it. So you just live the best life you can, or you get all the fun, that beer commercial. You got to grab all the gusto because you only go around once. That's a lie. This life is a preparation for the one to come. That's what I believe. The rich man died, and he's in torment. And there was a group of Jews called the Sadducees, as I said. They taught there was no resurrection. There is no afterlife. The grave is it. There's no angels. There's no spirits. I don't know how they explain God, because the Bible says God is spirit. But they said there are no spirits. I figure they were probably some of the most miserable people that walked the earth. And one day, they thought they were going to corner the Lord. They were going to get him. And they came to him, and they started talking about the resurrection, and they presented a section of the law to Jesus. And I don't have time to go into it. But anyway, they thought they had him. And they said, now, according to the law, answer this question. And it said, Jesus looked at them and said, you do not understand the scriptures nor the power of God. He said, have you never read that God said, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I love that. In one fell swoop, the Lord destroyed their theological argument and doctrine with the very Bible they read. That's amazing to me that they could read and study the Bible, because Sadducees did, but they said there's no spirit, no resurrection, no angel, no afterlife. When you're dead, you're dead. D-E-A-D, you're dead. That's it. There's nothing after that. And the Lord, he didn't debate. He didn't call them idiots. You know, he didn't argue. He just said, man, you don't understand the book you're reading. God's not the God of the dead. God didn't say, I was Abraham's God. But Abraham, he's gone. I was Isaac's God, but Isaac, he's gone. I was Jacob's God, but now Jacob's gone. Jesus said, God spoke in the present tense. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Jesus said, i.e., they're still alive, guys. Physically, no. But they're still here. He said the crowd was amazed. I figure the Sadducees were ticked off. Jesus shot them down. As Jesus was so able to do. And I think he probably just turned around and walked off. Left them standing there arguing and debating with one another. So according to Jesus in this account, we have three dead men here. Abraham, Lazarus, and the rich dude. All three had died. And yet none of them had slipped into a state of unconsciousness or non-existence. They were very much alive. All their senses were intact. He said the rich man saw Abraham and Lazarus. He recognized Abraham and Lazarus. I've had people over the years say, brother, do you think we'll recognize one another in heaven? Sure we will. We're going to know each other. And it said, the rich man looked afar off and he saw Abraham and Lazarus. So he could see. He could talk because he spoke to Abraham. I imagine he was shouting. He had the sense of pain because it said he felt the anguish of the fire. I was a firefighter for 6 years. Just real quickly, I'm going to say this. We wore turnout gear, which is specially made gear that's insulated to help protect you against the heat of the fire, but it will not keep you from burning to death. You get too close, you will burn. And when you're in there with a charred line and you're spraying the wet stuff on the red stuff, it produces steam. And when that steam comes and hits that turnout gear, it is hot. You're not getting burned. I have been steam burned. Have a turnout gear be up a little bit and a little bit of that wrist flesh exposed and that steam and hit it and I'd have blisters. Ouch. This guy, according to Jesus, is in fire. He's not around it. He's not close to it. He's in it. And he calls out to Abraham and he said, have mercy on me. Please send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water and come and please come and touch my tongue. This guy that had all the money he wanted in life, had everything he wanted in life, he didn't ask for anything but one drop of water. He didn't say, please bring me a glass of water. Please fill a bucket up and pour it over me. He said, just touch my tongue. Cool my tongue. I am in anguish. I just want a little bit of relief, a little bit of respite. He said, please, Father Abraham, Show me mercy. What Father Abraham say? Child, the King James says son, the ESV says child. You remember? So he had full faculty of his memory. You remember that in your life, you had all the good things, and Lazarus had bad. He said, now Lazarus is comforted here, and you're tormented. I want to share with you what I believe Abraham meant by this statement. He said, you're asking for me to show you something you refuse to show to this man. You're asking me to be merciful to you when in your life you refused mercy to this man. What does the scripture say? Those who have shown no mercy will be judged without mercy. That's in the book. We're going to stop there. Part 2 is next Sunday. If you want to hear it, please come. There is so much in this text. I couldn't do it justice trying to do it in 30 minutes. Am I trying to scare anyone? No. The first part of this text, my point is, there is an afterlife. Jesus said it. There is a hell. He created it. There is rewards. And there will be punishment. The proof's in the text. Next week, we're going to go into a little more detail. Would you stand with me this morning? Is the Word of God truth? Amen. Amen. Don't let the world tell you that you're crazy to believe in that, because they can choose not to. I've thought of different false prophets I've heard teach and preach and say there is no hell that have died, and I think you probably have changed your mind now. Some would say, well, that's a little judgmental or harsh or arrogant. Don't let the world tell you that when you go into the ground, that's it. Jesus Christ said, no, it's not. You know, for Christians, we look at death as not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of an eternity with our Lord. I don't remember who has the closing prayer. Would they please close for us?